Good morning. Greetings in Jesus' name this morning. It's a blessing to be here and see all your faces here this morning. Also, a blessing to see so many visitors here this morning. It's especially a blessing to be here this morning, thinking of it being the last Sunday for a while, and it just... We look forward to going down to Bolivia, but we'll miss the church family here at home, and it's just a blessing to be here today. If we could, maybe let's have a word of prayer yet before we go into the opening here. Yes, Father, we come before you this morning. We thank you, Lord, for your presence here this morning. We thank you for the song service already and the words that have been penned in the past, Father, and put into song, Father. We thank you for that. We thank you for the hymns that we can sing. And I just pray that we could truly worship you from within our hearts, Father. I pray that even the rest of the service here could be worshipful and we could give you the reverence that you deserve, Father. I pray that we could truly have our hearts turned towards you and you would teach us, Father. Pray that you would keep me from sharing anything that you would rather that I don't share, Father. I pray that you would guide my thoughts and my mind here, Father. Lord, we pray also for Alan as he shares, Father. Would you prepare his heart as well and just help him to share what you have laid on his heart. And for Noah and Sarah as they commit, Father, would you bless them as well and prosper their lives, Father. We thank you for this morning. We pray that you would be here with us, Lord. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Brother Mose, for those thoughts. There, I think the thought that if we truly love the Lord our God with all our hearts, soul, mind, and strength, and love our neighbors ourselves, then what I have here to share here today would be covered already. If that was truly the case, I think that it's amazing to me that those two things can actually cover it. But it does. If we truly love the Lord our God, then we will do everything else that we can to please Him. And this morning here, I would like to share an opening it's a little different, but it's pretty similar to what I shared in Arburg. And so for those of you that were there when I shared this, I hope you can just bear with me here this morning. It's been on my mind for a while already, probably for the last month. I've thought about this quite a bit, and it's something that God's been trying to do in my heart, so I will share some of these thoughts. I'll try to keep it from getting too long. I'm afraid that I can't get everything in. I was hoping to in the time that I have. So, if we could turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2, and then we will read verses 3 and 4 there. The title for the opening this morning is "No Man That Warreth Entangleth Himself." Second Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." He's exhorting us here to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And a man that warreth, he will not entangle himself with the affairs of this life. And even in a earthly sense, a soldier, when he has enlisted, he leaves his calling and all the business of it that he may attend his captain's orders. He is wholly devoted to pleasing his captain. And I would like to portray that here this morning, that we could truly have that kind of an attitude or that kind of a... We could view God that way. We could seek to please Him in every way possible. We could leave all the things of this world and not allow those things to entangle us. And so, if we could... turn to Ephesians 6. Some of these thoughts are kind of a little scattered, so if you can just bear with me, I'll try to get them in as good order as I can here. Ephesians 6, from verse 10 to 18. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And I won't go into a lot of detail. I don't have time for that this morning, but he just exhorts us to be strong in the Lord and to put on the whole armor of God. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. That's not the war we're in, but we are in a war that is much... we have victory in Jesus Christ, but it can be a very intense war that we face. It's a spiritual warfare, and so we need to constantly be on guard and be watching and be awake. I'm not sure where to put this. This is a quote that I found somewhere that I really appreciated, and it doesn't necessarily fit right here as much. I'm not totally sure where to put it, but in the worship of God, we ought to give such earnestness of attention that nothing else should occupy our thoughts and feelings. And that's, if we could truly be at that place where we could give God such earnestness of attention, then I think that then we're on the right track as far as serving Him and not getting entangled in the things of this world. So what are some ways we can entangle ourselves? I just have some different things here, and I want to share these in a way that can be a blessing. I hope it doesn't... I'm not trying to step on anyone's toes by saying this. I hope that you can take it from my heart. The first one is just the riches of this world. 1 Timothy 6, if we could turn to 1 Timothy 6, then we'll read verses 6 to 12. So 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6 to 12. But godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be there with content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. And I was just challenged by reading these verses. It's really... a very clear command that he, or a real clear exhortation, I should say, maybe, that Paul has here for us. And I think with us in America here, we have so much that we tend to forget how blessed we are, and I think it's a blessing. It is a blessing if we can use it in the right way. But I think we need to watch that we don't lose our way through all of that and become too obsessed with the riches that we have and allow that to entangle us, and then we lose our way through all of that. And I think we just need to be careful and learn that godliness with contentment is great gain. He says in verse 11, "But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness." And these are all beautiful things, characteristics, that if we can pursue those things, then our lives will be blessed. This is a quote. This is a something that this is not my words, but I'll just read it here. "The folly of placing our happiness in these things, these earthly things," is what he's talking about. "When we did not bring anything into this world with us, and we can carry nothing out, what will worldlings do when death shall strip them of their happiness and portion, and they must take an everlasting farewell of all these things on which they have so much doted?" And it just brings across the point very clear that there is nothing that we can take out of this world. But our souls are going to live on for eternity, and where are we going to spend eternity? I've noticed some things going to different places as far as work goes, just going to different people's places and things, and just seeing that there's the value they put on their possessions, how much time they spend on their possessions is hard for me to understand sometimes. I know one customer we went to, he didn't want me to take out his screens out of his window because he had a wire attached to them that whenever somebody would take the screen out, it would set his security system would go off and things like that. And I don't think that's the case with anyone here, but it was a challenge to me to think that, what am I doing with my possessions? How attached am I? The second one is our speech. Just a question: are we honest? Are we honest with people? Can we truly be honest, even when we might lose something by being honest? There's many different scenarios that could play out in, but is it pure? Is it pleasing to God? Are we adapting the world's language? I find myself sometimes using words that I realize later that I probably should not have said. And are we adapting to the world's language? And it can come in mild forms, but where does it take us? And again, this is not necessarily all things that I feel like are big issues here, but I just want to remind ourselves and cause us to think about it. Another one is our dress. Is our dress modest? Is it honoring to God? One question that someone asked one time that really got my mind thinking is, are we okay to dress plain? Are we okay to dress differently than this world? If we are too concerned about how we look and how that we can be in the loop with other people as far as dress goes, I wonder if there's maybe a heart issue that needs to be dealt with at that point. But are we okay to be different? And different could mean two different things too. I mean different in a godly way. And here's a few that I won't go into much detail, and just a few things that we could think about. What kind of books do we read? Music, places we go, shopping, for example. Even I can waste a lot of time shopping around for things that aren't really worth anything in a spiritual sense. And I'm not saying we can't go shopping. I hope you understand that, but I think we can get carried away with that. Our vehicles, food we eat, are we able to to refuse eating some food sometimes when it just seems like we always have plenty? This last week I know some of us fasted, quite a few of us fasted for several days, and And I think we should do more of that. We have so much food, and sometimes I get carried away and eat plenty much. Another one is politics, and I understand there's maybe a time to be involved to a certain degree, but I think we can get very carried away with that one too. That we don't get too involved, and especially lately with the election and everything, we have had a lot of opportunity, and cause ourselves to think about it. How far are we getting involved? I think it's okay to know a few things. I'm not saying there's nothing that it's all bad, but I would just encourage us to watch how far we allow that to take us. Another one is work or our jobs. I've seen people in the past, and not here in the church, but I've seen people in the past that I worked with that were addicted to working, and I don't think that's God's heart. It's clear in the Bible that we have to work and provide, but I don't think that God wanted us to be addicted to our work. And so, just an encouragement in that way. And so now I have a few thoughts, maybe on how to keep from getting entangled. Not very extensive. I wish I would have had a little more time for that, but if we can turn to Titus chapter 2, we'll read from verse 11 to 14 in Titus chapter 2. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Looking for that blessed hope. And I will touch that a little bit here, a little later. I'll touch on that a little more. But in Psalm 1, verse 1 and 2, it says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And the point I wanted to bring across there, first of all, in verse 1, he says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. And so he says it's blessed if we keep ourselves pure and we do not follow, we do not walk in the counsel of the ungodly or get ourselves entangled in the things of this world. And then in the second verse he talks about that man, his delight is in the law of the Lord. And I think that is one way that we can avoid becoming entangled is spending time in the Word of God and meditating on it day and night. Another way is, in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, it says, pray without ceasing. I think prayer is another way that we can overcome and we can keep from becoming entangled is a committed prayer life. And we heard some about that last night. Pray without ceasing is not that it doesn't mean that man should do nothing but pray, but that nothing else we do should hinder prayer in its proper season. Prayer will help forward and not hinder all other lawful business and every good work. And I think that brings the point across the way I would like to say that. But I think also praying without ceasing is also that as we go about our day, we constantly have an attitude of prayer towards God and a way of worship to Him. Then in verse 18 of 1 Thessalonians 5, it says, in everything give thanks. I think I don't have the whole verse here, but in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God and Christ Jesus concerning you. Something to that effect. I think thanksgiving is another way to be, just to learn to be thankful for things. It says, in everything give thanks. I know there's times when there's things that we don't know if we can truly be thankful for, but there's always something to be thankful for. And so, just encourage us to, in everything, give thanks. And he says, this is the will of God for you. This is the will of God, is that you give thanks. In 1 Thessalonians 5:22, it says, abstain from all appearance of evil. And this is kind of going along with some of the other things I've said already. I would like to go into Colossians 3. I'm not sure if I should take the time right now. But it says there in Colossians 3, I'll quickly turn there and read a verse or two there. Colossians 3 always stands out to me. It has some beautiful thoughts regarding this, but it's also a chapter that we memorized back in the day when I was a little boy, and I probably don't remember it all, but it always stood out to me. Verse 1 says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. And verse 2 says, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. And it goes on and on about what we should mortify, put off also these. And then it says, then verse 12 says, put on therefore, and then it goes on what we should all put on and things. I won't read it all now, but just the thought of setting our affection on things above. If we can focus on the things above, I think a lot of our struggle with becoming entangled will be gone. If we can focus on things above, focus on eternity, where are we headed? And that would be some of my closing thoughts, is living in light of eternity. What are we doing in preparation for eternity? For ourselves and for others. Are we sharing the gospel with others? Are we excited about the gospel? And are we preparing ourselves for eternity? Are we seeking God? Are we making a difference in this world by the way we live our lives? Can others see that we are truly born again? Are we investing in the kingdom of God? It is truly a blessing to be able to invest in the kingdom of God. And that there's many different ways to do that. And it can be in physical ways. We can bless others. We can invest in the kingdom of God. That way we can financially help someone. There's just many different ways we can invest in the kingdom of God. And it is truly, there will be great rewards for those that truly can do that. And just want to encourage us in that way. I want to seek to continue to grow in that way, and I just want to encourage each one to continue to invest in the kingdom of God. It is well worth it, and there's going to be eternal rewards for that. And just at the end here, maybe just want to encourage those, if there's anyone here that's not converted, it is a warfare, but it is a blessing to serve the God that we can serve. I just want to encourage you, do not continue to just push it off. It is a blessing to serve God, and it is a joy. And eternity matters, and it's for all eternity. Where are we headed? So I just hope that can have been an encouragement to you all. I appreciate you all listening. There's many other thoughts I would have liked to share, but for sake of time, I'll leave it at that for this morning. God bless you.